Hello and welcome to Jibe Talking, the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles and this week we talk to the first two boats home in the seven-star Round Britain and Ireland race, Groupama and Telefonica Blue. We also look back at the recent Little America's Cup with Daily Sail editor James Boyd, who reflects on the implications of that regatta's big brother. But first, as always, it's the Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. Groupama takes line honours from fellow Volvo 70 Telefonica Blue in the seven-star Round Britain race. Emirates Team New Zealand come from behind to win the latest round of the TP52 Audi Med Cup in Cartagena. They keep their place at the top of the table. The Little America's Cup sees Fred Eaton and Magnus Clark aboard Canaan emerge victorious. Yann Guichaud and the group Edmond de Rothschild have won the third round of the Extreme Sailing Series in Kiel. And a huge week of Olympic class regattas sees the Finns in San Francisco, the Lasers in Hailing Island in the UK, while the RSX Worlds are in Denmark. All this and far will design the Abu Dhabi Ocean Racing 70 for the next Volvo Ocean Race. Jason Carrington will build it for skipper Ian Walker. OK, without further ado, let's look at that seven-star Round Britain and Ireland race with the bowman aboard Groupama, Martin Creet, who sailed the last Volvo race on Ericsson 3.
I think it was a great race. I never sailed it before, and I've never sailed around Britain. And we got a little bit of everything. A lot of wind in the beginning, and... Yeah, a bit lighter wind in the end. Very beautiful race course, of course.
A good practice for the Volvo?
For sure, yes. I think so. We needed that to come out and do some proper offshore sailing. And sure, we got a lot of that in the beginning, at least.
Now, the other thing that made it like a Volvo race as well was you had Telefonica next to you for quite a lot of it. How was it racing another Volvo 70?
I mean, we've done a couple of races before, but never against any other team. So that was really, really good to have another boat chasing you around the course. Unfortunately, we didn't see much of them, but it was made a very big difference for us.
Now, Martin, how is the team shaping up? How is everyone fitting together at this stage of the campaign?
I think we have a great team. We have a good mix between French and international sailors. And we all come from different backgrounds, some from multi-hull and some from Volvo and other from single-handed sailing. And all that experience, I think creates a very strong team, I reckon.
Now, obviously, Martin, you've sailed in the Volvo before. How important is your experience?
My experience, I don't know if that's so important. I'm only changing sails. I'm the bowman. You know? But, of course, it makes my life a little bit easier, I think. Maybe the maneuvers are getting a little bit better. But I think everyone's experience is, of course, important.
How did you get involved with Groupama, Martin?
I guess I was just lucky. I was doing the delivery, and I don't think they had a bowman, so they asked me if I wanted to stay, and I'm still here. So.
I like it when it works like that, when a plan comes together. So what's next? Victory here, that's obviously what you set out to achieve. What's next for the campaign?
No, I think the next thing is that we'll climb Mont Blanc, the team.
Really?
Yeah, so that's going to be good fun.
Is this a team-building exercise?
Yes. We'll see how many comes back. We'll do our best.
Okay, well, I'm glad Groupama are an insurance company. Final look back at the race. What were the major lessons learned, do you think, going offshore and racing in those terms? What were the important key areas that you improved at?
But I think the most important thing right now is to get the crew together and see that people can work together in tough conditions. And for sure, we saw that everything worked fine. So I mean, I think that was the most important. And yeah, then we tried testing a few different ideas with the boat and designing the new boat, I guess. So we all those conclusions we get from this race, we put into that, I guess.
Any other big sailing events on the horizon?
I think we'll do some more offshore sailing during the the fall. But no big races. I think this was the big event for us. So we did all right.
So our congratulations to Martin and Group Armour taking line honours in the Round Britain and Ireland race. Now the team they managed to beat, Telefonica Blue, who were third in the last Volvo Ocean race and co-skippered on that occasion by Ica Martinez. Ica was back aboard as sole skipper this time, and I asked him how the race had gone.
Well, it was a pretty nice race. I mean, it's a pretty close of what we had in the last Volvo, no? Windy conditions, downwind, upwind, then bridging, so we have a little bit of everything. And was a great moment to have the boat sailing again and to try to have the team starting again a little bit. So that was very nice for the team.
Now, a few interesting additions to the team, Neil McDonald amongst others. How did everyone get on together?
Very good. I mean, very good. The people was happy on the boat, and I think for everyone was happy to go sailing again. That was easy, no? Easy sailing all together, which is important.
Absolutely. Now, Ica, you did have a few problems, didn't you, which allowed Group Armour to get away from you. Anything serious?
No, not serious at all, but you know these boats, they complicate, and put all the boat together to go sailing is complicated, so we try to have the boat ready to go for racing, but we didn't spend any time in training for that or whatever it is. No? So then we were trying to make the race as well as possible. We did pretty good on the beginning. Then we were in front, so that was very good. And then we just have a little break when we were going upwind, and we have to put our bow down and go downwind to drop a sail. And we lost there. We lost a lot. No, so. But it's just things that happens during the race, especially when you are with a boat who is already getting a little bit tired, no? So I mean, anyway, the boat was very good. He needs only to be good. So for that, the day that this boat will be sailing again, and all the people will be looking after the boat and everything, so the boat will be perfect, no? And now it's almost perfect, but we need to spend some more time there.
Now, I know you probably can't tell us too much, but are there any latest plans for the next Volvo Ocean race?
The team is working for that. Everyone knows that the team wants to be in the next Volvo, and the team is working for that. So that's why all the efforts the people is making is for the next edition, for the new boat, for the new team in the future. So team is now like investing for the future, no? The moment is not an easy moment in Spain. You know that to find money now is not so easy, so Pedro is working very hard like always to find the budget, and we're working pretty hard to try to push on the spot size for a new boat. So all the people is trying to work, and we just in the beginning as a team for this campaign, and obviously it's very important all the Spaniards we have from the past, but now we're just in the beginning of a new adventure, you know? So the team keeps working.
Ica, on the team, is this the team you picked? How was the crew chosen?
I mean, is uh, well, We were thinking now in how to prepare the next boat, which is the first step, and for the future we will see how it's going to happen. No, so the people who was on the boat, we spent some days, and it was a very good feeling. And then for the future we'll see. No, I mean I cannot tell you much more. No, what we're doing now is what they tell you is just. Think on the future, try to have the best voters from this. We need to have people with experience there, and as you say, no, Neil McDonald or Joka or Jordi, all these people, they're working hard for the future, and that's the first step, and then we'll see how it's coming, the second step.
Well, Iker Martinez, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations, glad it all went so well around Britain and Ireland, and we look forward to hearing when you reach step two.
Okay, so thank you very much, and we'll see you.
Delighted to say we're joined by James Boyd, the editor of the Daily Sail. And James, when I rang, I got a foreign ringtone. Where in the world do we catch up with you?
Well, this week I'm over in Kertaminda. I'm up to the RSX World Championship, which is obviously the Olympic windsurfer. So we've got a huge number of both men and women sailors who are competing this week.
Well, you don't usually hang around with the windsurfing lot. What brought this one on?
Oh, money guy. No, I'm working for them this week, and it's very nice to actually sort of come and discover something new about our sport. So they're very sort of, each of the Olympic classes have got their own sort of character, and the RSX is obviously, you know, very much their own thing.
Well, and understand conditions have been ideal so far.
Yeah, so we're basically on to day three now. The first day was a bit light, but yesterday we had a fully sort of champagne sailing kind of day. We had more than 20 knots of wind and brilliant sunshine. And so we're just today we're into the sort of third day of the qualification rounds. And New Zealand are looking very good, and Poland are looking very good in the men's division, and China, who've got a huge squad here, are looking very good in the women.
Well, James, we will definitely come back at the end of all and find out who did what for the next podcast. But in the meantime, you've been keeping, despite being out in Denmark, you've been keeping an eye on events elsewhere in the sailing world. And I wanted to talk to you about the Little America's Cup and how things have been developing there.
Yes, well, there's been a huge amount of focus on what has traditionally been a relatively esoteric event. This is obviously to do with the Large America's Cup. In complete contrast, the Little America's Cup is raced in what they call C-class catamarans, which are it's a very basic box rule. Basically, but they're catamarans to start with, so very unlike the America's Cup, as is the tradition. They have to be 25. They're 25 foot long. They have a limited sail area of 300 square feet, and they can be 14 foot wide. And that's pretty much the rules. And so this has developed into what is, in fact, one of the most sophisticated classes, because they because of the limited sail area, they try and create the most efficient wing sail pan that you can create. So they've come up with what they call solid wing sails, which is what we saw in the 33rd America's Cup, and is also what is being proposed for the by BMW Oracle for the 34th America's Cup. So effectively, the boats which were sailing in the Little America's Cup last week over in Newport, Rhode Island, were sort of a scale model to what we might actually see for the biggest America's Cup whenever it's held, wherever it's held, next time round. So there are a huge number of these big guns from the America's Cup world, from literally all over the world. You had Grant Dalton there from New Zealand. You had quite a lot of the BMW Oracle guys were there. You had some of the sort of ex-Alinghi people were there. But there were sort of sailors, designers. Paul Kayard was there. They're all sort of mooching around these boats over in Newport, Rhode Island, trying to sort of figure out what they're all about, because it's a million miles away from typically what most of these guys are used to sailing.
How did it go?
Well, it's quite interesting. Basically, there are two sort of main players. In fact, they had they had six teams racing there. The defenders of the Little America's Cup is a Canadian guy called Fred Eaton, who sails with Magnus Clark. And they put on a magnificent job. They built a new boat for it called Canaan, which was a sort of development of their previous winner, Alpha. And they managed to win. And in fact, the conditions did benefit them because it ended up being quite a light air regatta. And they had the sort of newest, most powerful boat, and it really suited them. But it was quite interesting because there were teams from elsewhere in the world. Britain fielded a team called Team Invictus, which I called Paul Larson, who you may well know from his best of sail rocket exploits, was skippering that boat. And France also had a team, which was being skippered by a chap called Antoine Koch, who's a former Orma 60 trimaran skipper. But the sort of stars of the show were they had one of the Canadian boats had been lent to an Australian team, which was James Spithill, who's obviously the BMW Oracle Racing skipper, who was remarkably he was actually helming. He was on the crew. He was crewing for a chap called Glenn Ashby, who's best known as for winning what's known as the A-Class World Championships, which I think he's won something like seven times. An A-Class is basically a small version of a C-Class, that's a single-hander. So they've had a very sort of eclectic mix of crews racing this, but in the end it turned out to be that the Canadian guys managed to successfully defend it.
Finally, on that, James, have you heard any feedback from the people who went to have a look, the big boys who were trying to get a few ideas for the next America's Cup?
Well, we're sort of expecting to hear relatively soon, actually, what the type of boat is going to be for the next America's Cup. Basically, there are two choices which BMW put on the table. One is for a 72-foot canting keel monohull. But everyone seems to be thinking that they'll go for their other option, which is a 72-foot catamaran with a solid wing sail. So effectively a 72-foot version of a C-class catamaran, which is why there was so much interest in Newport last week. But anyway, we're expecting to hear that. And I think the problem is for most of the America's Cup, most of the existing America's Cup teams, is that none of them have really got very much experience in boats like this, and there's a lot of concern from the existing teams that where BMW wants to take the sport in terms of the type of boats that get sailed and the type of race courses which they're going to choose, because they're looking at revolutionising that as well. It's going to sort of take the sport to a place which they're extremely unfamiliar with. And so, obviously, if we take Team Origin, for example, Ben Ainslie is an extremely accomplished Olympic sailor. They've got a number of people in their teams who've been previously with other America's Cup teams where they've been in big monohulls. Their design team is very experienced in big monohulls. And it's a similar story with all the Luna Rosses, the Emirates Team New Zealand, and people like that. So where BMW wants to take it is very, very unfamiliar territory. And so they're all extremely concerned that this certainly won't be playing to their strengths. And it's a question of whether, as Sir Keith Mills says, whether the playing field is level. So we shall wait to see.
Well, that's it from the latest edition of Jibe Talking. Please join us next time from all the latest from the world of sailing. In the meantime, remember to check in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.com.